Espresso. I got up this morning and I stepped on the scale and I looked down at that number and I said, "Oh Lord, the armor of God is heavy today."
Oh my.
Coming up on Espresso Coffee Talk.
Up, you're not driving your car.
You're not going anywhere tomorrow.
You're not going anywhere. And you also have to realize that, okay, well, gosh, let's go on a trip down someplace. Well, okay, you got 270 miles. You got to charge it again or you're going to be dead on the road.
Hey, Dan.
So,
how many times have you forgotten to charge it?
The following episode is sponsored by listeners like you. If you would like to sponsor or donate, please visit espressocoffeetalk.com. That's espressocoffeetalk.com. Well, it's been a while since I've done a podcast episode. A lot of changes have been going on in my life. A lot of changes have been going on in the lives of those around me. People who are very important to me. Some of them have even been guests on the show. It's been really hard to get together, yet we finally did it. And you guessed it, we're talking about change. Change is such an inevitable part of our life, but when it comes, how do we navigate it? How do we deal with it? What do we do with it? So sit back, grab your cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So we're here and I have Dan with me and I have Stephanie with me and we are talking about change today. We've just spent a little time before the program started talking about some of the changes that we've gone through recently and really the effect on our life with those things too, right down to having to get a new car. It wasn't just wanting to get a new car, but having to get a new car. So it's really interesting how I think all three of us, and by the way, we haven't done a nice episode like this
with the three of us
since,
in a while.
Since the beginning, pretty much, right? So it's nice to have you all.
Yeah, back in.
I'm thrilled to death.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
So what a nice little change. Anyway, we do just want to apologize to the listeners because we do have some outside noise that might creep in. Speaking of change.
You're right.
Anyway, so since we've all last gotten together, a lot of change has happened in our life. Steph, why don't you talk about some of the things just like, because you were working one job, now you're working a new job and just right.
I think the last time we talked, I was still working at the winery and I'm no longer doing that. Working, at Ivy Tech, which is a new adventure. And then, I think when we talked last, I was doing youth and kids stuff with you. But that has continued to evolve in big ways over the last few months. I don't know when we were together last, I guess. At the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
September, October, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's continued to evolve. Big, new car, looking for a new house. I don't know. What else? I feel like everything is new in my life.
Oh, you started doing youth group and kids and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting stuff.
A lot of exciting stuff.
A lot of exciting,
so
very
how
busy
has,
stuff.
Right now, this change, again, in such a short amount of time, how has it sort of affected you?
I would say it's all been really good change. It's been positive change. There are some pieces that it's offered big reprieve for me. There are some pieces that have eliminated some stressors. There are some pieces that have brought stressors on. It just is, I mean, it's been a good transition for me. But just definitely trying to put a lot of faith in those changes that are happening and just that the right things will come along at the right time. So,
And Dan, you've gone through some things too, whether it's physically or whatever, you've done some job changes basically, I mean, you've had some sort of flips, I guess, in life too.
Yeah. I mean, job-wise, yeah, working just because of our life and raising grandkids now. So we had to find, I had to find a job that allows me the flexibility to drive one to school and all that. So working as a delivery driver for Walmart, but also had some, and still going through some medical stuff, which has been a big, and anytime you get into medical stuff and a big change, that really influences your life. And as you get older, your body just doesn't adjust too well to, the entropy begins to really evolve quickly. Just letting people know, entropy means that as things will always begin to disintegrate. You can't stop it. You wish you could,
right,
but you can't.
Right.
So there's been some medical issues, and in the midst of that, you know, still battling with God, going, I don't get this, dude. What is going on? So I'm pretty blunt with the Lord, as I believe. I mean, I'm not walking around going, oh, Lord, you know, I was like, come on, dude, what is going on? So this is not making any sense. So anyway, those are the, and then forced into getting a new car due to the fact our car got totaled. And so that was a major change. So overall, and then financially affects all, you know, all this with the medical and the new car and all this stuff, it affects financially immensely, which causes a lot of stress, because that's a big change agent right there. How are you going to afford this? We don't know. We just got to do it anyway. So, yeah, there's been some major course, I wouldn't say changes, but just along the course, there's been some major waves that are hitting and still are. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of go, okay, hang on there. And sometimes you, again, we deal with change okay sometimes. Other times you're going, okay, I'm not dealing with this very well. Mm-hmm. And that's just, that's the wonderful world of change when it comes to that. A wonderful world of change. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do well with change when it happens? I mean, let me back that up. Are you guys good at change, creating change and going with that flow?
I think that I am. I like to think that I am anyway. Yeah, to stay stagnant is boring, and there's so much more to life that I think change is exciting. However, I do know that a lot of people really struggle with change. So then, you know, trying to keep, trying to be patient with that, like when other people are, you know, more hesitant to get on board with change, that's harder, I guess, than the actual change itself, maybe.
Are you a good instigator of change, Dan?
Yeah, I've always been a change advocate when it comes towards in life. I mean, it kind of sparks things up, but I have found, and I think you guys will agree, there's certain things that we adapt to very well. Change comes along, and we seem to go. I mean, when it comes to technology in that realm, I'm very much, I adapt to it pretty quick. I want to know how it's done. When it comes towards the church realm, I always believe the church needs to continually evolving and change, not just change sake, but what can we do? But I've also found there are areas, and you'll find out that in your life, that you don't handle that realm of change very well. I don't handle the medical part, never have. I want to know why, and a lot of times when weird things pop up, you don't know why. And you're wondering why this is going on, and you're not getting any answers. And that creates an havoc when it comes to change, because your body's changing. And again, as you get older, your body really begins to, as the numbers creep up, that change begins to happen pretty rapidly. And so I just believe humans, we're very much routine oriented. Mm-hmm. And there's I do believe there are areas we just excel in and we love that change. But there's also areas when they change, we just don't adapt well. And I think it's the healthy thing is realizing what are those areas that I'm really good at adapting and how do I take that into those areas that I'm really weak at when it comes to change. So I'm a change agent, yes. There are certain things I don't like change, and medical's one of them.
Yeah. Good.
I'll say, what about you? What are you, Jason? What are you?
I like certain change. Yeah. Sometimes I find myself, this is just a personal thing, and I have to keep myself in check with it. Because if not, I think what changes I could make obviously could affect quite a number of people. But there are a lot of times I think that I get bored with the routine or the mundane. And then so sometimes I think I need the change almost to just, I don't know if it's a reset or if it's a freshen things up or what it is, but sometimes I just feel like, man, I really need that. I need something to change because the routine just feels so stagnant. Mm-hmm. But I'm with Dan. There are times when, and I'm 42, so that's not 60, but even 40s, I think when 40s hit, your body changes too. And there's some things that I'm going, man, when they hit, you're going, okay, what's this about? This is new. This isn't. And then the worst thing I think that I could do is get online and look up my symptoms.
My wife Dr. is a nurse and she says stop Googling,
right?
Because when you put in, you know, I'm confused or this and that, it comes up with multiple things. Some of them are going, could this be dehydration, or you could have cancer,
right?
It's like, you're dying, go to the doctor immediately.
You might be experiencing a heart attack.
Or you just need to go take a shower,
right?
It's like, which one do I do?
We'll start with a shower.
I have a friend that Googles things like that for me, especially when it came to my kids for a while, because I would like fall down the rabbit hole and it would make myself crazy. So I would call her and say, hey, I need you to Google these symptoms for me and think about my situation, my kid's situation. Like, what is the most likely answer?
You're right.
And so she would Google for me, and then she'd come back and she'd be like, I think it's just, you know, usually it was very minor and that was fine. And we just move on.
Just move on.
Mm-hmm. But there are good changes. I think, sometimes I think when you stay stagnant, it creates a different kind of environment that, I think you start to, instead of growing, mm-hmm. You almost sort of fall back and I don't want to say that you lose, but in some ways you do. It's kind of like a muscle. I mean, mm-hmm. in a way, if you're not working it, you mm-hmm. lose that mass and that ability to do whatever. I think sometimes that's why we have to go through some changes, and there are changes that I think are good, and then there are changes I think that are, they don't seem good, but they're very necessary. I think sometimes it's just like getting a new car, for example. You're not looking. You don't want a new car. You weren't planning on a new car. And yet here we go. Now we have to get a new car. Why do I have to get a new car? Well, in the long run, mm-hmm. You're set. Mm-hmm. And you got a $50,000 car. Like you said earlier, Dean, you got a $50,000 car for $30,000. That's pretty good deal.
But you're not looking for it. It's like payments still go up a bit and you're going,
right.
But it's life. And you know, I've said this before in the various podcasts we've done, humans are very routine. Mm-hmm. We are just geared up that way. We are routine based. We love things, keeping copacetic, keep it going on the right path. You know, don't change anything. It's just, we're wired that way. When you get up, you usually, it's the same routine. Mm-hmm. When you go to bed, it's the same routine. The problem with jobs, they're usually the same routine.
Yeah.
So we're caught in that realm of just being in the same. And so I found this interesting. If you can, to really mess your brain up when you wake up, change everything you do. If you take a shower at night, take it in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you change your, and see how your brain adapts. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to find out whether, you know, it's just how we're wired to go. And I'm agreed, change can be good, but just to change for whatever, I think there should be a method behind it. I mean, it's the same thing when you try to, this is why when it comes towards healthy living, healthy eating, healthy, your body is in that routine of going, but I like to eat this crap. And then when you change it, you know, your little receptors go, I'm not liking that. You really should eat donuts. And it gets the cravings, you know, you really should drink pop all the time. And it's just how you're, I told my wife, I said, it's interesting. We think we can control everything in our body, you know, and it's not true. There's parts of your brain that you can actually control. Then I found out there's like this subroutine running in your brain. You can't control it. Mm-hmm. You think you can, but you try to change it, and it's back there going, no. So it's just how we're wired up. Can you change? Yes. Change is good, and I think it does cause you to rethink things, but it's hard to do because routines break after 30 days. Mm-hmm. So you got to be on a constant 30-day focus to change your routine. That's a long time, and your body's going to battle you the whole way. So,
yeah, okay. So how do you guys do with routine then? Do you find yourself, because like I said, for me, routine is good for a little bit, and then after a bit, I get restless. So how do you guys do with routine?
Yeah, I would agree. I do well with routine for so long, and then I need to switch it up a bit. You and I talked the other day. I was sorting through some old stuff and like classroom type stuff from when I was in the classroom, and came up with or had my routine and, you know, my layout for the day and whatever. And yes, that routine was very helpful. It was helpful to me. It was helpful to the kids. But so often I just had to roll with whatever the day brought. So it was always great to have that there. But then I really liked the fact that it could be flexible. Mm-hmm. So I do really like a good routine. I don't think on my own, like just at home, I'm not sure I do great with a routine. I'm not sure I have a set routine. It depends on the day. It depends on the week. It depends on, you know, whether my kids are here or not. So, I don't know. It changes pretty often. So I'm not sure I can even call it a routine.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Well, routines, I mean, I was processing that when it comes to routines almost become, they're also subconscious. You just do them.
Yeah.
Because in your brain, these little fibers just all, they get used to doing a certain path. And that's just how your brain's wired. They fall, because then it becomes, I'm used to going this path. I'm used to firing this way. I'm used to doing stuff. It's like learning a new language. Mm-hmm. If you're forced into, you know, not even forced, I'm going to learn a language. Your brain, those little pathways are going, oh, okay, this is brand new stuff. And you battle with it. It's a subconscious battle because those little fibers in there are going, this is, now I have to create a brand new path for me to understand what's going on. And as you get, this is why as you get older, you know, you've had decades and decades of going the same routine. Your body really battles it. And this is where a lot of older folks, you know, you call them old stuffy people, because it's just their brain has been wired that way. And they have so many pathways that are so routine-based to try something. Okay, there was a, can you teach an old dog new tricks? Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. It's hard, mm-hmm. but you can. Because right. You have to battle those little pathways. I mean, it's, again, I go back to the workout. When you try to do this, your body resists it. You know, I'm going to work out for, you know, I'm going to do this. And then people always do this. I hate New Year's, where I'm going to, these New Year things where resolution, I'm going to change my life. Oh, my gosh. It's like, give it up. It's like, and why does it fail in 20, you know, after about 5 days? because those pathways win. They're going, nah, I'm going to battle you. Now, then, if you keep at it, you will create new pathways and it will become easy. But for me, it's, you know, it's always a battle. I like change to, again, to a point. But it's just, it's that subconscious part of you going, no.
I think I like change in theory. It's when there's so much change all at one time that I struggle the most with, I think. I mean, like I said, I really like change. It's just a matter of when it all comes at once, that's when it becomes overwhelming. And I feel like I might dig my heels in about, you know, like certain things. Like, wait, I need a second to process.
Right. So do you guys do... Because I find myself, when it comes to change, there are times, not always, there are times when if it's not done, if it's not just done and I have to go with the flow on it, then I need the information. If I'm supposed to be the one to facilitate change,
right?
Then I need the, it's kind of like, okay, fine, but I need some information and I need to somehow latch onto the vision here. I don't know if you guys are that way or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the case for me. Like, I need to know, like, what is it that's actually expected of me in this change so that I can do it appropriately. I think that's when it's really overwhelming, when it's just, well, here's this change. Now just roll with it. Okay, well, but what is it that you want me to do different? Because I think if you don't give people those instructions and you don't provide that, if you are the person asking for change, if you don't provide that, then people will just automatically, like Dan saying, with exercise or eating habits, you'll just revert back because that's what you know and that's what your body knows and that's where there's the least resistance. So if it's not kind of spelled out for you, that's when it's hard and that's when it becomes overwhelming, and I think people resist then.
Yeah,
you know, I should go out there and grab my wife. She had to do a major change. She's a nurse, done, you know, OB for 17 odd years. Something happened. Now she had to switch, where now she's thrown into the OR, operating room, which is a whole different. So the amount of change that she had to adapt with is mind-boggling. You know, because before, you know, she would deal with, you know, births and all that stuff, but it would come in at, sometimes you would have three births, other times she's up there going, we have nothing. You know, right. I'm sitting here, you know, we're waiting for whatever is going to happen, and sometimes it is something. Now she's on her feet, you know, 12 hours, standing there in an operating room with things happening constantly, and how she adapts. My wife does very well adapting to change. She doesn't freak out. She doesn't panic. So she's my go-to person, and I probably should go out and should grab her and put her on the podcast, because the way she I don't know how she does it. Mm-hmm. I've asked her. She just does it.
Yeah.
But change, I mean, life is, this is the weird thing, not really weird. In 1 minute, life could change either real easy or it could drastically change. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, every day we are faced with, you know, change. Mm-hmm. You know, the car could break down. Well, that changes. You could break a finger. Well, there's a change there. Something can happen. So there's change all the time. Most of the time, it's just not monumental. Mm-hmm. We all deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's just not a monumental change. So our brains adapt to that microscopic changes that, you know, flow. They affect us, but not to the point where we're going, oh, we just deal with it. Again, it's almost subconsciously. Okay, I've kind of dealt with this before. This is a change, and I'll deal with it. It's when the monumental changes come in. That's where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
So change every day. That's constant. It's when the monument, I mean, for us, you know, it's been pretty monumental for the last, since really this whole spring and fall has been monumental changes. And it wears you thin.
It does.
It's not the little changes in life. It's been the major changes. That's where you find out how you adapt to change.
Right. Yeah. That's where you find out what you're made of.
it really is. Yeah. I tell folks, I don't deal with change. You do. Because every day things change. It's just they're minor, comparable. Yeah.
To that point,
and you dealt with it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. No, I'm done.
I was gonna say, to that point, I feel like people will say to me, and yes, I know that there's a lot of change that's happened in my life in the last, I don't know, year and a half. But people will say, oh my gosh, you've got so much going on in your life. And because I do enjoy change and I do enjoy just figuring it out and going with it and the challenge of it all. And I'm somebody who I just put my head down and deal with it, I think, most of the time. Like, I don't give myself time to think about the fact that there's so much change. That sometimes when people point it out to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. My life is kind of chaotic. Like, I don't think about it. Like, I mean, every now and again it hits me and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm incredibly overwhelmed or like I'm exhausted or whatever, but I don't really think about it as being these big monumental changes until it's kind of pointed out to me. And then when I really start to think about it, I'm like, they're not wrong. It is big change. But I guess I don't think about it that way. I just think about like life's just ever evolving and here we are. And like, this is just what we do. So I don't think about it till after the fact almost.
I think I want to go back to a comment that you made earlier, Dan, is something about change for the sake of change. I was talking with a guy who every time I see him, he asks how things are going at church and then I do the same. And, you know, he's telling me how they had however many people they had. And then the next week it grew to even a bigger number. Well, then they had a meeting and they're all meeting and they're going, well, these are some things we want to change during the service. We want to, the ambiance, we want to take it and make it darker in the room because there's some things that we want to do and whatever. And he was telling me, he said, I don't know. I kind of struggle with that because we're already growing. So obviously people are liking what they're seeing. Why do we want to change? And the one thought that I said, that came to me was, and I had to think about this for my own self, and not that I want to make the changes that we were talking about. So if people from my church are listening, they're going to freak out, go, whoa, wait, no.
We're not turning the lights off on you.
we sometimes though, when you're building that momentum and the momentum is happening and the excitement has been built, sometimes you have to make the changes during the momentum because it helps you to grow even further. You're
absolutely
pushing the bill further. I think that happens in our personal lives too, where sometimes there's a momentum that's being built and you're growing and things are happening in your life, good things, and then changes, even further changes take place and you're almost to the point you're going, okay, is this even necessary? Like, this does this have to happen? God, does this have to happen?
Right.
And yet, you know, you're doing that. But I think sometimes change has to happen in order to continue something that's already happening, a good thing that's already happening, whether it's a momentum or an excitement or what. You're constantly casting the vision. This is business talk, but you're constantly casting the vision. And if you're trying to continue to grow and build that momentum, sometimes you have to change even for the sake of change, just to try new things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so that people see, like, you aren't just satisfied with status quo. Like, we want to continue to be better and, you know, and build, I mean, more than anything. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to it, I would just, you know, being a church working vision. Vision is like a blank canvas. You say, okay, I have this blank canvas, and I am going to paint a beautiful landscape on there. All right, you see the vision. The hard part is now implementing the vision. How do you, and if you're going, oh, I see it. How do you do it? I don't know. So when you start the process of putting it on the canvas, that's where the rubber hits the road. You know, and I did this in church work all the time. Come in there, you know, I do the interview, cast the vision. Oh, yeah, yeah, because they're seeing it. Oh, yeah, yeah, got it. Oh, this beautiful, blah, blah, blah. All right. And once you get there, and within 6 months, you're now putting the paint on the canvas, then they're changed, their tune changes. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. I said, well, guys, this is the, well, we saw it, but now you're asking us to actually do it. Mm-hmm. And this comes with any part of life.
Sure.
You know, blank canvases are great. Having a vision's great. But it's making it happen. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest change. Vision is not changing. It's making the vision happen. You know, all the little steps and intricacies that you have to do to make it, because then it begins to impact people. I mean, when I was in California, you know, it was a small little church, and we were doing things, and we got to the point going, okay, guys, you know, the process of this is not just add numbers, but we're going to get, you know, the change is going to attract other folks, and people go, well, why do we want to do this? We like being small.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because small, you don't have to do a whole bunch. You just keep doing it again. You can just keep doing the same thing, because once you start getting new folks involved, they're going to come in with their ideas and their changes and their new, you know, inspirations of how they want to do it, and that's going to cause a bit of havoc, which is good havoc.
Sure.
But so once, especially in churches, and I've told Jason, I've told you this, when it comes to certain, there's a, you know, group that did this, when it comes to numbers, you know, there's a change that happens from 0 to 50. There's a certain thing that happens there. Once you go 50 into 100, well, this adds a new dimension to it. Once you go from 100 to 150, this changes the truth. Once you start getting above 200 in numbers, then it really begins to change everything. And this is where, if you're not sticking to the vision and the purpose you're there, you will lose it. And you'll backtrack back down to 50 and 75 because you're going, ah. Mm-hmm. Because folks, you have certain folks that just, and that happens in any business. Mm-hmm. Again, having a vision is one thing. Implementing is a whole nother ball. That's the change.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That causes either great things or it destroys things. And just to change it, without having, you know, really the facts behind it, could destroy it. Just to change it for change's sake.
Yeah. Well, throwing things at the wall and seeing if they stick is something. I mean, just because, yeah. But there are intentional things too, I think, that you can do to facilitate change, but then also navigate through change, and it is for the sake of growing or building momentum or whatever. Anyway, I told you the other day, Dan, that we were, I was trying to sort of take all the elements of the ministry at my church and just put them under one umbrella, trying to rebrand and bring everything under an umbrella, because I'm starting to see where, if we don't, that there could be a lot of different changes and it could get chaotic and hectic really quick. And if you're not keeping that under the umbrella, then you're not keeping all of your ministry under that same vision, which is what you're talking about. But being able to cast that vision, keeping all the ministries within that vision and letting them flow with, you know, their ideas and whatever changes they feel like they need to make in their ministry without compromising a vision or without compromising the direction that we're going in ministry. I think if I could take this to the Bible real quick, talk about all of these people during Jesus' time on earth, and these people are experiencing something new, and it's a change. It's a, something that they haven't seen before. Obviously, you don't ever read about it in the Old Testament, a lot of the things that Jesus did. Like, where did demons come from? Because you don't really see much in the Old Testament about that. But yet you start to see these things as Jesus comes on the scene. And so they're experiencing all of these things. And I know that a lot of scholars say that these guys had like 3.5 years with Jesus. And like, he had a ministry of 3.5 years. There's actually, I'm going to say evidence to show that he potentially only had 1 year of ministry. But regardless, I'm looking at it going, okay, these guys spent a year with this guy who has made all these changes, and they get to the final deal, like the Last Supper, and they're celebrating this Passover, and he throws another kink in the whole thing, and he says, you're not going to remember Passover anymore. You're going to do this in remembrance of me. You're going to take this stuff in remembrance of me. And one more change to throw it Adam, and they're going, they have to be going, what the heck is he talking about? Then to be arrested, taken to the cross, dying. And all of a sudden, now this is a change that they can't control, but they're losing this guy that they've invested their whole livelihood in now for a year or 3.5 years, whatever it is. And which brings me to my next point. Or my next question, rather, is what do you two do when inevitable change happens, or unforeseen? I guess I would rather see unforeseen change happens. Somebody in your life dies, you lose a loved one, or, you know, all three of us have been through a divorce. So the way we thought life was going to go didn't go that way. I mean, what do you guys do with those unforeseen changes?
Wow.
Yeah. It. Go ahead, Stephanie. Answer my question.
Go ahead.
As I said before, for me, it really comes down to, and I think, which change is it? You know, I said I don't handle medical issues, the change there. How do I handle it? I stress out when it comes to that. I stress out, I wonder, I panic, I worry, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On that realm. So I'm not a good change agent when it comes towards a change in the physical part of who you are. When it comes towards learning new stuff, you know, on my thing, I guess being thrown into it, it depends. Okay, here's the case in point. We've got a leak in it. We've had a leak in our house. We now know where the crack in our foundation is. Now we're trying to figure out how do you fix it on your own because it's too expensive to do. This is a new change. Got to dig it down. You figure out. We tried out one thing. This didn't work. So this is throwing this, you know, it throws you in a bit of a stymie going, well, we still got water coming in. Blah, 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 blah. What do we do? So it's part of that change and trying to figure out how do we fix it. And so you start Googling, you're looking, you're trying to understand the components of it and what you have to do. So there's one realm of, yeah, you're being thrown into it. Again, I believe that there are changes we handle all right. There's other changes we do not. Case in point with, you know, my dad's 91. He just fell down and compound fracture in his back. Mm. So my mom calls and says, you know, we're having more tests done. And you can hear the stress in her because all he wants to do now is sleep, which he was doing it before, but now he sleeps all the time and he doesn't want to eat. So I have, over the last years working in the cemetery and funeral business, come to that point going, you know, death is going to happen. And I've come, you know, we don't like it, but we're all heading that way. You hope you have a good long life. So I had to lay down with mom, go, mom, things are going to change. This could be in a week, but you have to kind of, mom is kind of, you know, your brain's still thinking this is my main, gosh, they've been together 67 odd years. So that's a major shift. Now she's going, I said, so you have to get prepared for that event, that major change in your life. Am I ready for it? For the most part, yeah. Dad's been great. I've led a good life. He's done everything he wanted to do. And I've come to a point where I told her, I said, Dad's probably ready to go. She goes, I think so. So Mom's going to deal with a lot. We are too. But I'm able to prep myself just because of the past experiences of being in that realm. When you have never been in that realm and you've never faced that change, that's when it throws you into complete havoc. So if you've dealt with, I guess I'm kind of repeating myself, when you've dealt with change before on your day-to-day, your brain's, okay, I've already dealt with this, kind of. I've dealt with the chaos, I've done it. It's when something new gets thrown in that's where you find out how do you really, really, really handle change.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but it goes back to, you deal with it all the time. Again, we're going to deal this with Dad. I'm dealing with, things every day in life. It's just those, how do you deal with change you've never dealt with?
Yeah.
Ever. Right. This is new. How do you deal with it?
Right. Or
and that's where you.
Yeah. I think things for me, it's more like probably when I was 20, maybe. I would say, I thought, okay, this is, I'm going to be getting married soon, and I may or may not have kids. I don't know, whatever that, but develop a life. And I was getting freshly getting into ministry then, and thinking I'm going to be married. I've got this person for my life. I'm going to be in ministry for my life. And, whatever. Having those dreams or those, maybe not dreams, but they are ideals in your mind that you just think. And then you throw a kink in of going, well, hey, by the way, you're going to meet up with your dad when you're 24. And that's going to rock your world for a little bit. And then he's going to go. And then after that, at some point, your marriage is going to get rocky. And then, then you're going to get a divorce on down the line. Oh, and by the way, that's going to screw up your ministry totally. And then you're going to leave the ministry. You're going to go work at a winery. Hey, that's a nice little perk or the change. But that's not going to last long, because then you're going to get back into ministry, even though you don't think that you really have it in you to get back into ministry. You're going to get back into ministry and go that. So everything that I thought could be or would be just completely, like, the whole thing turned upside down. And I'm thinking, looking back, I'm going, how did I ever make it through the changes anyway? Because, and trust me, there have been things that I've gotten mad about. Mm-hmm. There have been things that I'm like, why did I have to go through all of this? There have been things that, I still don't understand to this day. I'm getting better at, accepting, which I think is the final stage of grieving. Isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. So I'm getting better at accepting some things, and I'm also getting better at seeing how, while they may have hurt, while the changes may have not been great, and I've lost friends and family and whatever, I still, at the end of it all, I'm at a decent place now, and I've experienced the blessing through some of that. So to be able to see all of that stuff, I get it now. I didn't then, and going through some of those changes, in my, it was probably like yanking me through it, pulling me along through it, like kind of like, I don't know, a stubborn donkey or something. I don't know. But you can imagine, like, just trying to pull me through it, not going or wanting to go. And yet here I am. So that's kind of what I'm wondering about you guys is, so when you're going through these changes that are inevitable, or again, like you've lost somebody or you've gone through completely new chapters, how are you guys easy to go through the flow with it or?
Maybe you should answer that question. Am I easy to go through the flow with it? You've witnessed a lot of change in my life in the last year. I think I need some time to grasp it. I'm a list maker, and so I get out my notebook or my notes app in my phone and start, okay, this is happening. What do I have to do to know that I'm gonna be okay? And then a lot of it anymore is, okay, this is what I want to happen. Whether or not that's what's going to happen, obviously, is up in the air. But this is what I would like to happen. And then it's definitely having faith that whatever's supposed to happen will be what turns out. Especially because I've always really been a planner. And like, okay, kind of like you, this is what I see for my life. This is what I think will happen in my life. This is what I want to make happen in my life. This is how I want it to go. And it's just so much that's not been the case. And when I really think back about it, probably the best times in my life are the things that I did not force. And so I'm trying to keep that in the forefront of my mind. Like, for example, going through this whole process right now of looking at a house and looking at houses and, you know, everything's so expensive right now and interest rates are high. And like, what, you know, what do you do? Living with noisy neighbors upstairs, what do you do? And so I'm trying really hard to just basically say, okay, this is what I would like to happen. I want to go in this direction, but what that direction actually looks like, I don't know. And I'm open. I'm open. Like, so whatever is in front of me, like, I feel like it's definitely been something that I've just put a lot of faith into. This is what's going to, I'm just going to have to put faith in it. And I will know that it's the right thing when the right thing comes, rather than trying to force it, because previous past me would have been really upset, like really, really upset that some of these things haven't worked out, like the house situation, or even when I was looking for a new car, like I would have been really flustered by all of that. And it actually was, you know, because I just kind of let go and quit trying to control it and let the change happen. It was an easy process and, you know, or easier and less frustrating to me. So I think that's kind of how I have done it in the past. In the past, I've really tried to plan it out. That's not worked out for me. So now I'm like, all right, this is probably how you need to handle it. You need to, you know, just embrace that there is change happening and let it happen and trust that the right things are in store for you.
Well, to answer that question, I was pondering this. Go ahead. How do I answer this one? On my part of it, I try to influence the change, which usually causes more havoc on the, because if I can, I'm always trying to figure out why, what's going on here, why can't I figure this out? And so I try to influence the change. Well, some you can and some you can't. You know, medically, I want to know what is going on. Why is this happening? What can I do to influence? And that's what gets me in trouble. Well, I'll just take, you know, this. And wife's going, you need to stop taking this crap. You know, try this. No, stop. Because then it, well, you may not have this happening, but now this has caused this to happen. So it just causes this cascade of events that wouldn't have happened if you just would have let it run its course. So I try to, you know, and again, even when I was in church work, I was a change agent. I tried to influence change. Some were good, some were bad. And Jason and I have gone into this, and I boggled my brain. I'm going, here's the thing is, there's no changing what I'm about to say that I can see. You know, and Jason, you and I have talked to, it bugs the crap out of me. And this has been a reason to go, okay, this is why I have a hard time walking in church, that church has become an auditorium. it's designed that way. When you walk in, everyone faces the, you know, where the event happens. Mm. So people come in, they sit, and okay, let's watch the entertainment. Mm-hmm. How do you change that? Because that's not what it should be. How do you switch it so that people out there are now actively involved in what's happening on this event? Mm-hmm. And I've come to the conclusion there's no way of changing it at this point. It's begun, the situation and how the church has evolved, this just didn't happen in the last 10, 20 years. This has been going on for hundreds of years. And people are so used to walking in. I mean, really, I've done this, walk into a church that you've never gone to before. Does anybody say hi to you? Does anybody get you engaged? No, you usually sit down, you watch the event, and then you either decide, I'm going to come back, or no, I'm not going to. This is 90% of the churches out there. And it drives me nuts. Yeah. This is why I'm not actively involved in a church. Because I walk in, I get so infuriated, because I'm going, this needs to change. But again, I've always come and always believed, if you're going to say things need to change, then you need to come with ideas, mm-hmm. not just complaints. Right. And this is where most folks get into, especially in church or anything. Sure, they want to change, and they're just mouthing it. Okay, well, why don't I have ideas? You just need to change this. Okay, well, you're not, you know. So everyone complains about it, but they have no active, well, what? Okay, how do you actively change it then? Mm-hmm. Do something then. Get yourself involved in whatever you're involved in and try to, you know, make the change happen. So that gets me in trouble because I try to control the change. And again, sometimes I succeed, but most of the time I do not. To the point now where my wife has now told me, no matter what, you cannot, when it comes to medical stuff, you cannot do anything without getting my authorization to do it. So we had a recent event where I kind of came down and going, I'm really feeling this. I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Should we go to the emergency room or not? I'm not making the choice. She says, what do you want to go? I said, no. She says, well, what do you think? I said, no. You've told me I cannot. I cannot control this. So you're the nurse. You tell me what you think. So again, it gets me in trouble because, again, I want to know how it works, why we're doing it, and then, you know, I just try to control it the best I can. But again, sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, the new car we got is a brand new electric vehicle. This puts us in a whole new realm. Because now, every night, if you forget to charge it up, you're not driving your car.
You're not going anywhere tomorrow.
You're not going anywhere. And you also have to realize that, okay, well, gosh, let's go on a trip down someplace. Well, okay, you got 270 miles. You got to charge it again or you're going to be dead on the road.
Hey, Dan.
So,
how many times have you forgotten to charge it?
None. I've never forgot. So far, I have not forgotten to charge it. Yeah. I have not done that. I know I've got up in bed and got ready to go to sleep when, oh, crap, I forgot to plug it in.
Now,
that has happened. That has happened multiple times. I'm going, crap. I gotta go down there and plug the car in.
That sounds so funny. I mean, oh, I know a lot of people do it, obviously, but it just sounds funny.
It is funny. So in a sense that we're thrown into that change. And now I'm, you know, because now I'm involved in it, you know, I'm looking at all kinds of EV cars and how do you do this and what's the new changes and blah, blah, blah. It's just, well, you're not gonna buy one. No. But I'm in this mode now, and I want to understand it. Mm-hmm. What's out there? So, yeah, again, I'm a control, I would say a control freak. I just want to know why things happen. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? And if it does, do it. Mm-hmm. And again, I get frustrated. People go, well, no. I'm going, guys, we have all the facts. Just do it.
Right.
I mean, get on with it. I mean, I'll put it this way, and then I'll shut up. What's going on with, you know, with the president and the tariffs and all this stuff. One person said, and I agree with him, Americans are weak. When it comes towards like the market, they freak out. They can't handle that. We're weak in that way. Why? And I agree. How many of us have had our house blown apart by a bomb, and now we have to go live someplace else, and we go someplace else that's blown apart? You know, we've never walked through that. Mm-hmm. So the amount of change we're going through is nothing.
Yeah.
Compared to what these other countries and other folks have gone through, and are like, you know, with those, you know, over the Middle East and with Russia and what's going on in Ukraine, these guys, the amount of change that happens, they don't know what's going to happen by the minute.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, oh crap, you know, my washer broke. Oh crap, I broke my finger. I had to deal with a car. You know, So yeah, I went, for the most part, we don't handle, Americans just don't handle things very well, and we freak out. Mm-hmm. We don't have the patience for it. And I agree, 100%. We don't.
Yeah, that's true. And so the changes that, like you're saying, the changes we go through are very minute compared to some of the things that other people go through. And we think it's the end of the world. What do you guys do then when you want to make the changes, but the changes don't get made?
I beat people up.
Oh. Do you cross your arms and stomp your feet and throw a fit?
Yeah.
Depends who we ask.
I get real moody. I get real moody.
Yeah.
I get depressed. I get very frustrated mm-hmm. very quick.
Yeah. I think I get frustrated.
So that's what happens to me.
Yeah, I think I get frustrated too. But then it's a matter of, okay, so I know why the change, I think the change is good, or why I think the change should happen. Do they understand? Like, do they have all the information as to why?
Yeah.
I think that that's the change that should be made. Because I think if you're wanting to make changes, or you are making changes, you should be able to back them up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think so often people can't. And so then that's what people are hesitant to. But then I think that there's times when people absolutely have all the information, all the research, they've done all this work to make these changes, and people just absolutely refuse to do it. But it's because they don't have all the information. If all the information is presented, I think a lot of times people are a lot easier mm-hmm. going with it.
I think some people also, they, for whatever reasons, and there's no blanket answer, but I think some people are just very hesitant because they can't see mm-hmm. the end result. And so because they can't see the end result, it's hard for them to. And so I've noticed for me, now I'm giving away some of my secrets here.
Oh,
but I've noticed for me that sometimes when you want to make, if you want to make big changes, sometimes you really have to just sort of chip away at it and start off small enough that it's more manageable.
Manageable
digestion for the other people is that it's small bites and they're going, okay, I get it now. I see. And then in fact, they latch on and take it to the next level sometimes, mm-hmm. Which is great because then they can see the excitement mm-hmm. and they get a part of the excitement that way. So I think sometimes when the change doesn't happen, I'm like Dan, I get moody and whatever for a little bit. I go, but I have to do it. I have to just go to my own room. I'm going to go away for a little bit. And then I get myself into that place where I'm going, okay, process it for a second.
Right.
Think about it and go, if you know the change is necessary, how can you begin to get people on board and implement it? Even if it's the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
the little things first.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and when it comes to church, you know, throwing this into that, especially when it comes to change, you're going to find folks, like you said, as you go through these things, they kind of adapt to it. Mm-hmm. The hard part is when you deal with the folks that do not adapt to it. Mm-hmm. And you have two options. You explain to them, da-da-da. And some will go, okay, we'll do it. But then you're going to have that group that will resist you to the very end. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've always told, you know, I never was a pastor, but I've always told leadership, I'm going, okay, you're going to have two choices as you go down this path of folks who resist it. Either you bend or you don't. Mm-hmm. And most bend, because usually the folks that freak out are the folks, and this is the sad part of church, it comes down to the giving. Well, these are big givers. And if they freak out and leave, well, what do we do? I'm going, we move on. Mm-hmm. Because money becomes the driving force. Or they've been in the church for, you know, that church for 50, 60 years. Well, we can't, you know, and they just stir up the hornet's nest behind you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of leaders will bend, and because they just give up. And I see businesses that has happened with businesses. They know the right change, but there's too many folks throwing a hissy fit, and they're going, okay, this is the right thing to do, but can't do it. Mm-hmm. And they stop, and they change complete course. The hard part of anything you do, whether church-wise, is you stay course, you stay due north. You don't ever veer. And that's the hardest part, especially when it comes to church change, is not veering off course. And boy, that's tough to do when you got a brief little mutiny going on your ship.
Yeah. Right. And from a pastor standpoint, it's not like driving a Formula One car. It's more like, you know, you're steering a transport semi truck, whatever you want to call it. And you have to make the turn the right way. You can't cut corners. You can't.
No, you'll wipe out other cars.
Yeah. You'll wipe out other people, and you'll turn over your trailer. And I think the bad part there is, because it's like driving a semi, sometimes the changes, you know, if you're change hungry, or if you're going, things need to just happen. You can't, I don't think I'm that way, mm-mm. but if you were, I think that, it's a big lesson in patience. Mm-hmm. And a big lesson in, I guess what the Bible calls long suffering, but, and it's okay, because really church isn't about the latest and greatest. It isn't about the auditorium. It isn't about the experience. It's about the people, and it's about, you know, worship. And, Jesus didn't need the Roman Colosseum. Jesus didn't need it. I mean, he did most of his work going from town to town and being in people's houses and little synagogues here and there and whatever. Mm-hmm. That was the bulk of his work, and his work has lasted over 2,000 years. So, I mean, that just goes to show you that it's people. It's about people. It's mm-hmm. about ministering to people. It's about outreach. It's about all the things that church has really kind of steered away from anyway. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, whatever, but it's from a pastor standpoint, it can be encouraging and discouraging all in one go. And that's where, if you're not careful, you get the moody, depressed.
Well, I mean, when it comes to church, put in that realm, you're there to help influence and strengthen the spiritual faith of that person.
Right.
It isn't the numbers game. It isn't the gathering game, or it's not the auditorium. Now, that can all have an effect.
Sure.
But, you know, we always feel, we see Jesus, most of it, you know, we see him with big crowds. We don't see behind the scenes where he spent countless hours in people's homes. Mm-hmm. That's where the change happened. Mm-hmm. He took, you know, not just him, the disciples and other folks. You're there to help influence. And the great thing about doing that is when you're helping to influence someone else's life, it influences you. Mm-hmm. And if that's happening, you're then doing exactly what you need to do.
Right.
Whether it's five people or 5,000 people. But if it's about the auditorium, you're okay, well, you can get the grandiose and glory going on there and feel like, oh, I'm just looking at this, you know, thousands of people watch my podcast. Okay. Did it influence them and change their lives? If one person can make it did, then you've effectively affected one person. Mm-hmm. That's the change you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the change.
Yeah. Right. And I will say a couple things. I'm not trying to discourage, you know, any means necessary to reach the people. I'm not saying that we have to do away with. I'm just saying that it's not. That's not the number one focus. I mean, the you know, greatest band and the sound system and all that stuff, whatever. It's not the number one focus. You can do ministry without. Case at point, I sat and I have a YouTube channel where I'm just doing these mini teachings. And I was doing maybe 10 to 15 minute teachings. And finally, one day, it's like, there's very few people watching, which is fine. If it reaches, whoever it reaches is great. And I was content with that, except for I felt like, you know what, you really can get a point across in just a couple minutes. Doesn't have to be this, this sermonette type thing. Just, you know, whatever's on your heart, get it out, and you can get it out. And really, I just started doing things that, sort of minister to my own heart and things that I need to hear, really. And I started putting those things out 3 minutes tops. And I'm starting to get 600 plus views on some of these videos. And I'm going, this is because I really stopped caring about being, you know, having a fluffed up message.
All the extra.
The extra, you know, and
you pared it down to one location in your house.
Right.
One.
Right. And it works. Mm-hmm. And because I'm focused on the one person who probably is myself at this point of like, dude, you need help. putting that stuff out there, more people latch onto that because they're probably in the same boat too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't you think to go along with that, people's attention spans, they don't hang around too long. I mean, you got to say what you need to say and move on. And unfortunately, I mean, I wish that that wasn't the case, but we've talked about that before, you know, that people quit listening.
As we are at an hour and a half into this thing.
Yeah, well, you got to cut some of it.
I know. People are going, oh, please shut up.
Enough already.
Yeah, we know change is tough. We get it. All right, all right, all right.
There's a bunch of whiny babies on here.
Nobody actually gave any answer about how I make this easier.
Right.
Well, and again, it is true. Change, I always thought, change is not easy. Ultimately, it is not. You either adapt to it, you are an autopilot, and you just do it anyway.
Right.
Or you fold up. It's how you respond to it. Change is not easy. It's just what kind of change is hitting you. And I think along with the podcast or whatever, YouTube, it's being open and honest in a short manner. And if you're, I mean, like you, what we've gone through is where we've gone through this stuff going, guys, at the end of this, we could be wrong. I mean, I hear so many of these YouTube guys where they go, blah, 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 and then it's like this grandiose, oh, and God is so great. You know, once in a while I'll share, guys, I am really frustrated. You know, open your heart up. My gosh, be human. It's like they're almost on this whole nother plane. It's like, you know what? We all face this. what do you do? And you may have to reach out and go, guys, I need help because I'm in a crossroads. What do I do?
Yeah. Well, I watched real quick. I watched a video. It was Bono from U2, and he was meeting with Eugene Peterson, who translated the message. Mm. And they were talking about different things. And one of the things that's just stuck with me from that whole video is Bono goes, I wish more Christians would write about their hardships more than just whatever they're writing about. Mm-hmm. Like they've gone through a divorce or they've gone through, you know, whatever. The fact that they are human. Mm-hmm. I wish that they would write more songs about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that you would minister to people from that standpoint. And really, honest to God, when you go back into the Bible, that's what David did. Mm-hmm. If you read the Psalms, what David did, they're not pretty. Mm-hmm. We make them pretty, but they're not pretty. I mean, he goes through his hardships and he's almost, there are times that he's lashing out and then he kind of comes around and he goes, but you are great, you are good, and you are, you know, all this stuff. And I know that this is who you are as a God, and he brings it around. But David never holds back, mm-hmm. even in the Bible. So no, I think you reaching those people with those hardships, it's a good thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, going through the change, I know we need to wrap this thing, going through the changes that have happened. Oh, I mean, really, honestly, I've been going to God going, I don't get it, dude. I mean, why? Why? You're not giving me any inkling whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And really, you're ticking me off.
He knows you're ticked off, I mean, anyway, right? So you might as well say it.
Yeah. Why not say it? I mean, that's what gets me. It's like, you're already thinking it.
Right.
I mean, might as well just say it. Might as well just say it. You're ticking me off. And I'm frustrated beyond belief here, you know, and that's going to be my number one question I get before God is why? Why?
I hope you say it just like that too.
Why? I asked, why didn't you say anything? Well, I did. Well, what was it?
I missed it.
I missed it. Who was it? What?
You know what he's going to say. You're going to go, what in the H-E-L-L happened here? And God's going to go, you know, spelling it and saying it's the same thing. You might as well
just... It is this. Yeah.
And I wish that was on here earlier.
Yeah. It's just hilarious. It's like, you know what? Spelling it is the exact same thing as saying it. I mean, it's like saying, oh, shoot. You realize you're just substituting shoot for the other word. All right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, be honest. If you're honest with people, be honest with God. My gosh, it's in your heart anyway. Just let him have it. He's a big enough God to deal with it. Mm-hmm. If not, then really, he's not the right kind of God then. If he can't deal with it, then we're worshiping the wrong God. Mm-hmm. That's just honest to be. So,
yeah, that's true. All right, you guys, this has been a good conversation. Thanks for coming on. Both of you.
Yep.
Yeah, you're welcome. The background welcome. Noises were free.
Yeah. I didn't hear them, so they weren't too great. So
just wait. You'll hear them.
No, I'm going to edit.
I can't wait. I'll listen to the podcast. So. Yeah.
All right.
And I would, again, at the end of this, is trying to, as folks listen to this, if they do, I'd love to hear what changes they're going in there. Maybe we can help. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we'll go, oh, God, I never thought of that. Give us some advice.
Yeah, you come absolutely. Up and say,
you guys are all idiots. Yeah. All right, we'll deal with it.
Yeah. It'd be called worse.
True, me too.
I mean, yeah, they're called worse, yeah. It'd be called worse.
You are a J-E-R-K.
Oh, my. You are. Yeah. Let's just spell out everything from now on, yeah. Yeah, it'll make it much better.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Did you enjoy today's episode? Why not subscribe to Espresso Coffee Talk? Stay in the know. Get some alerts when new episodes come out. Did you love today's episode? Why not send some love in return? give me some stars in your podcast app. Leave me some comments. Let me know how I'm doing. Just please, please be gentle. You've been listening to Espresso Coffee Talk.